evening is also time to dismiss the children for Children's Church. I will be reading two passages of scripture. They're located in your bulletin if you would like to follow along. The first is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God told Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." And now 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too. Wonderful for words.
Morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. I want to give you a little background to that passage that Paige read. In fact, I want to ask you to keep your bulletins beside you or open, or your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Because to really understand what Paul is asking of the Corinthian church in chapter 9, you have to really understand what he's saying in chapter 8 and why he's saying what he's saying. You see, in when Paul wrote these words to the Corinthian church, The Christian church in Jerusalem was really struggling. There were people in Jerusalem that were just really having a rough go of it in life. There was poverty that was unbelievable. There was this daily struggle in life that was unbelievable. And Paul had written to the churches. In fact, he'd been to some of these churches. And while he was traveling, he was taking up offerings to give back to those fellow Christians living in Jerusalem, to help them get through this rough place in their life. And when he writes to the church in Corinth in chapter 8, he says, look, he said, I want to tell you something. The church in Macedonia, the Macedonian Christians, they have really taken to the next level. They have really stepped up and they are giving to support their brothers and sisters who are living in Jerusalem. And in case you're wondering, they're not giving out of their overabundance themselves. You see, the Macedonian Christians are struggling with life as well. They're really having a tough time. And in the midst of their struggles, in the midst of their hardship, they're giving beyond themselves. They're giving generously. They're giving cheerfully to support their sisters and brothers in another community. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church in chapter 9. He says, look, it's kind of a motivational thing. He says, look, you all promised a year ago. a year ago that you too would give to support these people who are struggling with life in Jerusalem. And I've yet to see a dime. And I'm not saying that you've slacked off, but you've slacked off. That's really what bottom line, that's what he's saying in chapter 9. You kind of missed the boat here. So I'm encouraging you, I want to motivate you to follow through on your promises. I want to motivate you to follow through on doing what you know you're to do as a child of God. And that's to be generous. That's to give with great, great giving. A great heart. And so that's what the setting is for of those very words that Paige read a few moments ago. And if you look at those first 8 verses again in that passage, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds gets a small crop. But the one who plants generously gets a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will provide, generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. What great words of Paul to this church. Loving, caring, and yet saying, look, this is our responsibility. This is who we are. This is what it means to obey God. Is to give generously. How many of you know, well, let me say it this way. How many of you who are under the age of 40 have ever heard the phrase rule of thumb? Really? Okay, good. Okay, that's really good. I'm surprised by that. How many of the rest of us have heard the phrase rule of thumb? That's what I thought. Okay, so rule of thumb. Let me tell you the background. You know where it came from? In the 1600s, a judge, now let me just say this, a misguided judge, in my opinion, said that a man could beat his wife with a stick to keep her in line. Misguided, I promise you. But the stick could be no thicker than his thumb. Rule of thumb. Now, that's one version of where that phrase comes from. But let me tell you the one that's from way back, way before that. Before that, it was used as a term of measurement. You know, you think about it. Look at your thumb. From that first joint to the end of your thumb, about an inch. Rule of thumb. Your thumbnail is about a half an inch. Rule of thumb. In the ancient days, people used their body parts as a form of measurement. Sometimes it was a thumb. Sometimes it would be from fingertip to the elbow. That's a cubit, by the way. That's how Noah knew how big to make the ark. Can you imagine? Let's see. 1, 2, 300 of those babies. You know, cubits. And, you know, a foot for a foot, you know, from your knee to your to the floor, you know, what, 20, 24 inches, something like that. But it was that rule of thumb that was used for body parts that used in measurement. Today we use the phrase rule of thumb as a guiding principle. You know, some kind of a principle that we might employ somewhere in life to guide us as a general rule, not a necessarily a scientific calculation, but a general. Let me give you an example. And I'm going to give you 2 examples, both from the sports world, since I seem to know that best of anything. So in a baseball lineup, okay, in a baseball lineup, you have 9 hitters, right? 9 batters in a baseball lineup. Okay, so in that lineup, the rule of thumb is that you put your best hitter with the most power, with the most consistency, with the ability to drive in the most runs as your number 4 hitter. That's the rule of thumb. In basketball, you put the little dudes that are really quick at guard. You put the big guys that are slower and maybe a little rougher and tougher at center or at forward. So that's the rule of thumb. In the passage that Paige read for us, the passage that's in your bulletin this morning from 2 Corinthians, there are a couple of rules of thumb that I want us to look at in just a moment. But before we do that, you know, a fair question is, why do we give? What's that all about? What's the big deal with giving? That's been our theme today as we're in this series of giving time and space for us to consider what God's trying to tell us about different aspects of what we do in worship. And today's theme is giving. How do we allow God time and space so that we can in return give back to God with great generosity? What is giving all about? What does giving accomplish? When we are generous givers. In fact, maybe you've wondered, why do we give? Why? What's the big deal? Take a look at this video and maybe it'll explain a little better. Lots of reasons to give. How many of you would agree that we are a blessed people? I mean, we're incredibly blessed. I don't think there's anyone here that would say, oh, you know, I've never experienced God at work in my life. I've never seen God work in me or in my family or in our situations. I've never seen God. There's not one of us that would say that. We've all watched God work at different levels, at different places, at different times in our lives. We are blessed. We are blessed. There's any of us who would say, well, I don't have any gifts or talents. I don't have anything to return back to God. I don't have anything to give to God. I've not had any of those blessings in my life. No, here's the reality. You know, how many of you own a bicycle? Or how many of you own a toothbrush? Listen. Anybody have a savings account or a checking account? Yeah? Do you know that if you have a savings account, a checking account, you own a bicycle, you own a toothbrush? Listen to this. You are more blessed than 95% of the world in which we live. That's amazing. We are a blessed people in this country. As American people, we are incredibly blessed. And sometimes we want to say, well, wait a minute, that's my stuff. That's mine. This is for me to have. We're a blessed people. And see, what Paige read, what God told Abraham was, listen, you are blessed to in turn be a blessing. You have been given in order that you might give. We're blessed. Amazingly blessed. Now I want to talk about just a couple of the rules of thumb that Paul wrote about to the Corinthian church. Because we're so blessed, we need to understand these, maybe new and fresh this morning. First of all, we reap proportionally to what we sow. We reap proportionally to what we sow. The more seed that we plant, the more fruit that we harvest. It's a simple rule. It's been around for generations and generations and generations. You reap what you sow. When we sow big-heartedly into the lives of other people, just because we can, just because we want to, amazing results can happen from that. Incredible things can happen from that. Now, the principle is not concerned with the amount that you have or amount that you give, amount of the gift, but the attitude in which it's given. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And the principle works whether we're talking about our time or our talents or our dollars. The fact is, as we'll see in a moment, God loves a cheerful giver. And the story of the widow's mite is a perfect example. You don't have to give a lot. It's the sacrifice of the heart that counts. It's the principle of the harvest. When you sow what you sow, you're going to reap. So when we're generous with our gift of time, I don't know about you, but you know, when I've been generous with my gift of time, it seems that somehow God multiplies that time back to me. When I've been generous with the use of gifts and talents, it seems that somehow God is generous back to me to use them even more. It seems that somehow when I am generous with my gift of money, that somehow God always provides and meets the needs that I have in my life beyond meeting those needs. I'm blessed that I can spend things beyond what I need to. It's an amazing principle. When we sow wisely into the lives of other people, when we invest into God's kingdom work with our time and our talents and our dollars, it's amazing what happens in the midst of that. You know that there's a community garden down here, right? You know that Joyce and Grant have kind of headed up that project, and there are, I don't know what, how many, 12 plots out there? 16 plots. I don't want to tell you about that. Listen, this happened the other night. There were two little girls, Amaya and Angelie, Tim and Bobby's little girls, that were out there, and they were having a blast, helping plant stuff. Now, they could have planted one bean for each of the, there's these little teepee-like things, they're pole beans, right? They're little teepee things that when they plant the bean seed, it'll grow and it'll climb up that pole and there'll be beans everywhere, right? So they could have, this is what they could have done, they could have taken one bean and put it beside each of those poles and it would have grown. And there would have been way more than one bean, right? But they didn't do that. They planted bean seeds everywhere. They were having a ball, weren't they? They were getting dirty. They planted seeds everywhere around those little poles. Listen, go out there in 2 months. Go out there in a month and see what's happened. When you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. When we sow our gift of time bountifully, we reap bountifully. When we sow our gifts of gifts and talents, when we sow our gifts of money bountifully, we reap bountifully. It's an amazing principle that happens. There's a second principle. The second one is that we are to be cheerful, willful, and generous givers. Cheerful, willful, and generous givers. In a way that honors God. And you know what helps me remember to be generous? Is to think about the generosity of God Himself. I mean, think about what God did for us. You saw it on the video. That God gave us the very best He had. God gave us more than we could ever imagine. God gave us His Son to be the sacrifice to pay a penalty that we couldn't pay. God lavishly poured His grace into our lives. God gave us so much more than we could ever return to Him. God poured into our lives and He did it willingly. Jesus went to the cross willingly for you and for me. There's a friend of mine that when I ask him, when I see him, I say, "Hey, how you doing?" You know what he says to me? I love what he says. "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." And I've been thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that. And I think, you know, because of God's generosity in our lives, because of God's amazing gift in our lives, we are all better than we deserve. All of us are better than we deserve. When we see how blessed we are, we in turn can cheerfully and willingly and generously give our lives away to others. When we get it right, it points to God. Listen, our culture, the world in which we live, the people who live around us, the culture of today will tell you that we are happiest when we receive things. When we get things. Jesus kind of flipped that upside down, didn't he? You know, we're more blessed when we give it away to bring glory to Him. We're more blessed when we give it away. God designed us to be happiest when we are generous with our time, our gifts, and our money. To be overwhelmed with joy, we practice service and generosity on a daily basis. Jesus said He came to serve and give His life away. Serving and giving ourselves away are most accurately what define you and me as followers of Jesus. So what happens when we put these two rules of thumb, these two guidelines, what happens when we put them into practice in our lives? Check out verse 8. Verse 8 says that when we sow abundantly, when we give generously, when we give cheerfully, abundant blessings come in our lives that cover our needs and allow us to continue being a blessing to others. Amazing how that happens. Verses 10 and 11. You're blessed with time, you're gifted with gifts and talents, with money to be a blessing to someone else. That's what Abraham was all about. That whole deal with Abraham. You're blessed to be a blessing. Verse 13. People will praise and thank God. When we do what the Scriptures say, when we are obedient to what God asks us to do, when we hear what Paul's saying and say, oh, that even applies to me here in 2017, it brings honor and praise to God. So what is God saying to us here at Covenant this morning? What do we want to see God do in us and through us in LaGrange and Oldham County? Because we have made a decision to sow into the world cheerfully and generously. What legacy do we want to leave? What do we want people in this community to say about God because they see Him at work in us? What are we willing to do to make that happen? Let's take a moment or two and just bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's give God some time and some space to speak into our hearts. In fact, I would encourage you to read through that passage of Scripture that's in your bulletin this morning. Read through those first 8, 10, I don't know, just read through those verses again. Powerful words. And let God speak to us before we sing.